Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you because we know that you have a word for every single one listening to me today. Lord, I ask that this word, you will take it and you will break it to 1,000 pieces and share it till everyone gets an answer to their questions in the name of Jesus. Everyone looking for direction will find direction. Everyone looking for peace, for healing today will find whatever it is that they're seeking in your word. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning. I'm so excited about today's service because today we're going to be talking about something which is literally my life mantra. We're going to be talking about God can be trusted. Yes. God can be trusted. If you know me, you're close to me, or you've ever heard me speak, I am sure you have heard me say those words, that God can be trusted. And the truth is, the real reason why I say this all the time is because I've experienced God. I have seen God move in ways that have blown my mind, and it has increased my confidence in Him. You know, the apostles said that it's not just about the things we have heard or the things that we have seen. He said, but we're also writing about the things that our hands have handled. There are things that when your hands have handled them, you can never doubt or question God anymore. And I'm praying that at the end of this series, that that will be your experience, that that would be your testimony, that you would have experienced God so much that nobody will be able to convince you that God cannot be trusted. And that every time you place your trust in God, that He will show up for you because He always does. Okay, so let's get straight into it. So the very first thing I need you to establish is the fact that the very essence to everything that we have and are as Christians is based on the fact that we trust God. Because the very first thing that you must have as a believer is faith, and it is faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It says, because you must first believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we must first believe that He is. If you don't even believe that God is, then you cannot believe that He can be trusted to reward you. You cannot believe that there's any reward to seeking Him or to following after Him. And this is one of the reasons why Apostle Paul said that if the only thing that we're banking on is in this life, he said, then we are of all men most miserable. If we cannot take what Jesus promised us to the bank, then we're miserable. There's no essence to life. There's no reason for us to live. But that will not be our testimony. I can guarantee you that everything that is written in God's word is accurate and it can be trusted. You can stake your life on it the way I stake my life on it. So that's the first thing I need to establish. That you must first believe that God is. You must first believe that God is. If you don't believe that God is, then you cannot trust Him. If you don't believe that God is real, then you cannot trust Him. In fact, I want to read that scripture to you in the Amplified Version. And I read Hebrews 11 verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please Him. So without faith, you can't even walk with Him. It says, and please Him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists. It says, and that He rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. If you don't believe that God exists, then you can't believe that He can be trusted. You can't even believe that you will get a reward for anything that you do in life. You won't even believe that God will show up for you when you are calling on Him. So the very first thing we must do is believe that He is. And that, I said again, is the basis for everything that we are as Christians, as children of God. The basis for everything. If you don't have faith that He is, if you don't have faith that He is real, the TPT translation says you must believe that God is real. If you don't believe that God is real, then you can't believe for anything else. So we establish that first, that God is, and then He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And you see, this whole thing starts from the very beginning of time. Satan went to, you know, if you read Genesis 1 and 2, the whole story of creation, and then you get into chapter 3, it talks about where Satan came to deceive the man and the woman, Adam and Eve. And Satan said one thing to her, and this, which is the same thing he's saying to us every single time. And that shows me that the very essence to everything is about what Satan is trying to get is our trust in God, it's our faith in God. He said to Eve, he said, did God really say? And you see, the thing about Satan is if he can get you to doubt one, he will get you to doubt all. So if God didn't really say that you can have children, then why do you believe that God says you can have money? If God didn't really say that you can get married, then why do you believe that you can have healing in your body? He wants you to question God. And he knows that if he can get you to question one thing, anything in the world, and that's what seems to be going on in the world today. Everywhere you turn, it's one person castigating the word, what God is saying, what the Bible is saying. Is it really true? Are men really the head? Should women really submit? Everything, there's just so much chaos everywhere. And the truth is, if you do not trust God enough to take him by his word, you'll be moved by every wind of doctrine. And that's exactly what God does not want for you. And that's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to get you to doubt God. So he will ask you questions like, did God really say? You see, the thing about Satan is that his tricks are the same. He doesn't bring anything new. He's not that innovative. Contrary to what most people believe, he's not. The same tricks he's been using from time immemorial, he's still using today. He asked Eve, did God really say? And then the Bible tells us much later in the New Testament that Jesus was baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, one of the things that God said the heavens opened and that the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and that the voice of God was heard. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God had spoken that this was his Son, and he said, hear ye him. So it was established that God had already said that Jesus was his Son. And then when Jesus left from that place, the Bible says straight away he was taken into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And the very first thing Satan said to him was, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. It wasn't about hunger. It was about identity. It was about the fact that you really believe what God says about you. Do you really believe that God can be trusted? Do you really believe that you can take God at his word? And Jesus knew that this was just the same trick, the same thing he did that made Eve fall. And he told him, it is written. In other words, I trust what God has said. My question to you this morning as we move ahead is, do you trust what God has said? God has said that all things are now ready. Do you trust that all things are ready for you? Irrespective of what's going on around you, do you trust? People are being laid off, but do you trust that all things are still ready for you? And he says, when I say all things, I mean all things, meaning nothing is removed from it. So if you really, really, really look closely, you will know that what Satan has been trying to do and is still trying to do today is to get you to not trust God. And there are many reasons why people don't trust God. I'm just going to run through a few of them quickly for you. Number one, if you don't know God, you can't trust him. If you do not identify the fact that God is real, you've never encountered him for yourself, you don't have a living relationship with him, then people can tell you whatever. I have experienced God. I've experienced the healing power of God. I've experienced the presence of God. I've experienced God speaking to me in dark hours, holding my hand at times when I should have given up. I've experienced God giving me accurate words, like speaking to me in real time. You can't convince me now that there is no God, because I've experienced him for myself. I have seen God cancel doctors' reports. You can't tell me that God is not a healer. Most times why people don't trust God is because they don't know him. You can't trust someone you don't know. I know my husband. I know what he's capable of. I know what he can do. So there are things he would tell me. He would say, oh, I'm going to buy this thing for you. I know what he can afford. So I know the things that he will say, and I know I can trust. So when you have experienced God, when you know him, you have a relationship with him, you know his voice. You know the things God can say. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, oh, I think God is saying so and so and so to me. And I'm just amused, because I'm like, it's obvious you don't read the Bible. If you do, you will know that God cannot say those kind of things. There's a way you will know someone. You will know what they are capable of. So it means that you can also trust them to deliver on promises that they've made. If you don't know God, you can't trust him. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you yourself are not trustworthy. The Bible says that to the pure, all things are pure. If you're a criminal, you think everyone around you is a criminal. If you're a thief, you can't trust anyone. So if you yourself are not trustworthy, it will be very hard for you to trust God. If your words don't mean anything, if you're the kind of person that says, I will do it, and you don't do it, or you're the kind of person that says, oh, I'll pray for you, but you don't pray, then it will be very hard for you to take God at his word. If God tells you going to do something, he will take you with a pinch of salt. You'll be like, I beg, person, no, they no finish. No, with God, we did no finish and much more. So if you're the kind of person who is not trustworthy, it's very hard for you to trust God. The third thing is if you're not careful to count your blessings. One of the reasons why a lot of people don't trust God is because you've not looked over your life to see the things that God has done for you. It's very easy for you to say, I mean, I don't trust God. But if you look at your life very closely and see the things that God has rescued you from, it will be very, very easy for you to trust God. Because sometimes I tell God, I say, one of the things I love about you is that we have history. We go, me and you, we know each other. We go way back. The things you've done for me, we know how far. The things we've been through together. The reason why I trust God is because I constantly look over my life to count my blessings. I remember the things that God has done for me. I am not quick to forget the things that God has saved me from. Sometimes even the things I didn't know I needed saving from, God has been there every step of the way. And the final reason why people do not trust God sometimes is the fact that they do not remember the victories and the things that God has done for them. I'll give you an example. David was faced with Goliath. And when David got there and he wanted to kill Goliath, and they gave him an armor, and he said to Saul, I can't fight in this. It doesn't fit me. You know, I'm not used to it. And he said he would go with his sling and his stone. One of the things King was curious. You're a 17-year-old boy. And the giant you're about to fight you are nothing but a youth. He said he has been a champion from his youth. He was talking about Goliath. And David said something. He said, the same God who rescued me from lions and bears will bring down this uncircumcised Philistine. He was trusting God based on the testimony and the reputation that God had. He remembered consistently and constantly that God had helped him to win battles before. So this one is nothing. He knew that if God had done it before, that God would do it again. We serve a God who is the Ancient of Days, the God who never changes. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. With him, there is no variableness and there is no shadow of turning. God will not change when it comes to your own turn. So David knew that if God had saved him from lions, God had saved him from bears, then God would definitely save him from Goliath. So one of the reasons why, I think one of the major reasons why people don't trust God, or people find it hard to trust God, is that people are not careful to remember. If you remember the things that God has saved you from, the victories that he has won for you, then it will be easy for you to trust God. So I'm going to share with you a few places where I feel that a lot of us need to learn to trust God. So number one, trust God to get you out of difficult situations. You have to learn to trust God to get you out of difficult situations. I sat with someone today and I was telling her that one of the biggest lessons I've learned in my life is that God is all you have. God is all you have. I remember that hymn that says that on Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Listen, when the chips are down, when you have some major trials in your life, there are some problems you will encounter. You will know that your father cannot save you. Your mother cannot save you. You cannot look for uncles. You cannot find aunties. There are some situations you will go through in your life that only God can save you from. Now, you need to learn to trust God in those times. I'll give you examples of some of the people that trusted God for difficult situations. And the truth is that the Bible is full of them. I don't even think you can really read any book of the Bible and not see someone who God came through for. Is it the widow who was about to die and then God sent her the prophet Elijah? Is it Jairus, whose daughter was dead? Is it the woman with the issue of blood? Is it Daniel in the lion's den? So maybe we should start with Daniel in the lion's den. And I'll read you a few scriptures. But I'll give you a basic background story to what happened. You know I like Bible stories, so I'm going to gist you. So I'm going to add some of my pepper and salt. You know I like to gist Bible story. So basically, the king divided his kingdom into different levels and cadres. So these are some rulers in parliament and all of that. And some of them were very upset because one of the people who they had brought on exile from Judah to Babylon at the time, under King Darius was Daniel. And Daniel and his friends were exceptional. They said Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was better than all the other guys, so they were so upset. So they wanted to set trap for him. And that's life. People will just be angry with you. Can just be jealous. See you with Mildred every day. They'll be angry. See you make up every day. You have someone just be painting you every day. They'll be angry. You see, your husband is fine. They'll be angry. Yeah, my husband's fine. They'll be angry. Yeah, I just have put in that. So if you're angry, it's your luck. You know, just be angry. People just be beefing you generally in life. You might not even do anything to them. Because I think that Daniel didn't do anything to them. Daniel was just doing his work, just being excellent like the melancholic that he was. He was just doing his work, minding his business, being himself. But people that will not do their own work, they will not allow somebody to be great. They will still be beefing you. So they were angry. And so they said, you know what? We can't trap this guy with anything. If we say he should do work, he will do. If they say we should come out to work at 5 a.m., call time is 5, he will be there. If they say we should close, he will be there. He will not complain. He will not do it. Say, you know what? The only way we can trap this guy is to come up with a plan that will affect his service of God. Eish. Can they set that trap for you and you fall? I sat there thinking, when I read this thing, I was thinking, I say, hey, may God not let our loyalties be tested. Because a lot of people, if they say, you don't come to work on Sunday, we are going to sack you. You are the one that opened the office. You know, Abby. In fact, they'll meet you sweeping. But Daniel said, me. It's not me and them. So they said, you know what? They went to the king, planned, and they told the king, build a statue and declare. No. They just went to the king and said, nobody should pray. His own wasn't a statue. Nobody should pray for 90 days, I believe. 90 days or 30 days, I'm not sure now. Except to you. And the king didn't see anything wrong with it because he didn't know that the plan was to get at Daniel. So the king said, okay, no problem. They made the decree. He said, anybody that does that will be thrown into the lion's den. The king said, no problem. Why should anybody even pray to anybody but me? I am the king. I am the this. I said, okay, no problem. So Daniel, they told Daniel this thing. Do you know what Daniel did? This is how you know when people trust God. They are not moved by what men can do to them. They set their face like a flint. This guy went, he didn't secretly enter his room and pray. He did not go under his bed and say, I'm not praying, I'm praying in my heart. Mm-mm. He opened his window. The Bible says he opened, let me read this for you. Because people will think I'm adding Jara now. I have to read it for you. He opened his window. Hey, this is well. Mali, Cable, Shatali, Abraham, Degedeza. You will be patient too because this scripture it is well. Daniel 6. I want to go straight to the point because I don't want to drag us. Okay. So now, when Daniel, I'm reading from verse 10 because by verse 9, King Darius had signed the decree. It says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he went into his house. Now in his roof chamber, his windows were open towards Jerusalem. And he opened it and he continued to get down on his knees 3 times a day. What kind of human being is this? 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he has been doing previously. So he didn't stop. He didn't even reduce it. He didn't say, let me secretly pray. Mm-mm. He continued praying as he had been praying before 3 times a day, opened his window to Jerusalem. I believe he even lifted his voice and was shouting. And then they came and they carried him and they took him to the king. Do you know that half the time when this thing was happening, I kept saying to myself, as I was reading the story, because you know when I read the stories, I always like to live through the eyes of whoever was writing, maybe Daniel. And I was thinking to myself, I'm sure Daniel must have been thinking, my God will show up for me. My God will show up for me. They took him to the king. My God will show up for me. My God will show up for me. The king said, Daniel, why did you do this? My God will show up for me. My God will show up for me. They are opening the lion's den. My God will show up. They are pushing Daniel aside. Daniel said, God. God said, they go. He said, you say? God said, they go. He said, God, now lion den inside. He said, I say, make you they go. Daniel, be going. Daniel, his mind was saying, I don't know, but I believe that he was saying to himself, my God will show up for me. God will show. They look inside, lion, they say, God say, enter. They locked him in that lion's den. And then in the morning, it was King Darius himself that ran there first. He said, Daniel, did the God that you serve deliver you? Was he able to deliver you? He said, oh, king, my God was able to deliver me. For he sent an angel in the night to close the mouth of the lions. Ah, see, when they brought Daniel out of that place, do you know that the difference, it would have been now be empty words of save my God,
it now became a testimony that this is a God who saves his people. Because everybody saw the lion now. It's not like it's just, they all saw the lion. And you see, I'm surprised they even did this, because before this, Daniel's three friends had already encountered something like this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had encountered something like this with King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had built an image of himself, and they made a decree that when music is played and they blast the trumpets, everybody must bow down and worship that image of the king. And these three boys said they would not do it, and they carried them to the king. And the king said, you know what, I'm going to give you people another chance. Let me read it to you. See, this Bible is sweeter. If I'm just seeing you think I'm making it up or I'm adding jara, I need to read it to you. Daniel 3. Open your own Bible. Because I'm trying to show you the God that you serve. You know, the Bible says that he's the same. He doesn't change. He's the same God. Which means that if he did these things for Daniel, if he was able to save Daniel, if he was able to save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's able to save you. I'm going to read from verse 13. By this time, they had taken them to the king. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage, and he ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And when they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? He says, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instrument. He says, well, if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? That one even scattered their head. Ah, you know, they answered him. Let me answer you in King James, because this one is milder. He said, we are not, O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. He says, we will not bow because our God is able to save us. He said, but O king, if our God does not save us, so we will still not bow. That's how much faith and confidence they had in God. How many times have you had situations thrown at you and you say you trust God? And you say, I will not bow, no matter what they do to me. The king even said, I've given you another chance. I've heard all the things they've been saying. It's rumors, as far as I'm concerned. It's rumors. They're carrying rumors about you. That I say you should bow, you say you will not bow. He said, what do you smoke? It's okay, no problem. He now told them, increase the fire 7 times. And he said, tie them. And they tied these three boys. You see, they didn't walk into the fire. They tied them and threw them in. The fire was so hot. The Bible says the fire was so hot that even the people that threw them in got burned. As they threw them in, the king said, what am I seeing? He said, is it not three people that were tied and thrown into the fire? He said, then why are they walking about? And he says, oh, I see four. He says, and the last one is like the gods. Oh, listen, this thing's too sweet. I can't just tell you the gist like that. I have to read it to you. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. The king bow. Hey, the king see waiting pass and he bow. Sorry, I'll go back to English in a bit. But there are some things that, you know, English not really helping me, but, you know. He says, he told them, come out, come out. These are people they bundled and they threw in. He told them, come out here. And he says, they stepped out of the fire. Now see the amazing thing. He said, then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. This is fire that killed the people that wanted to throw them in. He said the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. He said they did not even smell of smoke. Hey, Kalebosha. Ah, there are things, you see, that is where trusting God matters. Because if a man was to rescue you, you will come out a bit burned, but you will be saved. You will come out a bit scarred, but you will be saved. But if our God saves you, he says you will not be touched. And on top of it, you will not even smell of smoke, meaning that you will not look like what you've been through. Hallelujah. That's a good place to praise God right there. You will not look like what you've been through. You have no idea the kind of God that you serve. And you say you will not trust him. Are you a joker? Hey, he said, He was right there. That's the second thing. And that explains my second point. The first one is that you must trust God to get you out of difficult situations. The second one, you must trust that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, we don't serve a God who sits in heaven and just looks at, oh, okay, what's happening with them? Okay, you know what? Michael, when you're less busy, you can check up on them. No, no. You see, he was right there in the fire with them. That's the God that we serve. Right there in the fire with them. And I think it was last year when I was doing praying the names of God, one of the things God showed me, we prayed about the God who is the consuming fire, the God who wears fire as a garment. And God was showing me how, I remember when I was still nursing my babies, I had this cloth that I used to cover, wrap them in. I had this cloth I always used to carry about with me. It's like a scarf. So it's like a, no, not like a scarf. It's like a jacket, you know. So the child would be inside. So if the child is cold, he's warm because of that cloth. If the sun is too hot, he's warm. So my child's completely wrapped and I'm covering the child with that cloth. And God was saying the same way when your babies, when David is inside, he doesn't feel the elements. It's the same way because I wear fire like a garment. I cover you. So even when you're going to fight, you can't be burnt. So when God is making that promise, he's not just making it because he doesn't have anything to say. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's promising you because he would deliver. Let me read you a few scriptures. Why you must trust God that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's, you know, when God says something, he means it. He doesn't just talk aimlessly. He means what he says. Let me read to Isaiah 43 verse 2. I hope someone is getting excited about trusting God. Because we're, like Apostle Paul said, if we can't even trust him, we have all men most miserable. We have all men most miserable. Isaiah 43, I read to you verse 2. In fact, these are kind of scriptures that you should open in your own Bible. Don't wait for it to be put on the screen. Open it in your own Bible. It's Isaiah 43 verse 2. It says, when you go through deep waters, God says, I will be with you. Not that I will send an angel with you. I will just say, okay, don't worry, you'll make it. Jonas, do you know if God says you will make it, it's enough for you? That when you're going through water, I say, don't worry, you'll make it. That should be enough. But he says, no, I will be with you. Ah! A God who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. A God who loves us too much to allow us go on our own. That's the God I'm telling you to trust today. He says, and when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Now see the beautiful thing. He says, when you walk through the fire of oppression, he says, you will not be burned up and the flames will not consume you. Have we not seen the proof with these three Hebrew boys? They came out and they did not smell of smoke. They did not smell of smoke. If God is with you, there's nothing you can't go through. And he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Let me read to you Hebrews 13 verse 5. Another reason why I believe that trusting God to not let us go is in fact, is absolutely necessary. Because he said you must believe. If you believe that he is, then you also believe that he will reward your faith in him. So Hebrews 13 verse 5. I want to read it to you in the Amplified. I love this scripture. Love, 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 love. I can't get over it. It says, let your character or moral disposition, let it be free from the love of money. Because people put their trust in money. You put your trust in something that can feed. You know the funny thing about money? If Jesus come like this, they just blow trumpet, ping. The money is useless. It's now 666, Abby. It's now the mark of the beast all of them will have. Because it's not, I'm not here when it's happening. They just tell me. I'll be watching from heaven. He says, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. He says, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. He says, for God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Ah, if you've been in a place where you feel like you're falling, God says, I will not leave you without support. He says, I will not, I will not, I will not. God said it three times. Go and read the Amplified Classic. Three times. One, I will not will be enough for me. But that's not my God. He says, I will not. I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. He says, assuredly not. Listen, you can take those words to the bank. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about the fact that you can trust God to keep his word. Today, I just want to focus on you trusting God for difficult situations. So I want to pray with someone today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how hard it seems. I don't know how painful it is. Listen, remember Daniel. It may look like you're in the lion's den now, but I trust my God. And you can trust him. I trust my God to shut every lion's mouth. You may be going through fire. He says he will not only be there with you. He says you will come out of this. You will not be burned. You will not even smell of smoke. Hey, you will not even smell of smoke. You will come out and it will be as if you did not even go through anything. That's the kind of God that we serve. I want to pray with you this morning because I don't know what it is that you're going through, but God knows. Because we serve a God who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched by our weaknesses. He's touched by our pains. He knows what you're going through. You know why? Because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I will not. I will not. When Satan is telling you God has left, say, he will not. He will not. He will not let you go. He will not release his grip on you. He will hold you steady. He's saying, don't be afraid. So let me pray with you this morning. I don't know what it is, but I know that God knows. And I know that God wants to get you out of this. So stretch your hands towards me and let's pray this morning. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your children. I don't know what it is that they're going through. Some people feel like they are going through water, but Lord, you said they will not be drowned. They say that they are going through fire. Lord, you said they will not be burned and you will be with them. You said they will come out of this unscathed and they will not even smell of smoke. I declare peace in that situation in the name of Jesus. I declare that you will increase their resolve to trust you in that situation. And for everyone who is saying, I will not bow, I will not bow. Lord, I ask that you strengthen their resolve and you come through for them in the name of Jesus. For I know you to be the kind of God that when we say, if I perish, I perish, you will never let us perish. I ask, oh God, that whatever that situation is, that you take charge in the name of Jesus and that you release your peace, for you said you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We've chosen to trust you because we know that you are and that you are a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that situation is sorted and the peace and the shalom of God is released, meaning that nothing will be missing, nothing will be broken. We give you all of the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you for joining this morning. Listen, God can be trusted.